Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So all offseason, you've heard from the Steelers. It's all about Russell Wilson, right? That's why I'm being so rude to Justin Fields. But I can't be totally convinced, Laura, that this is going to be the Russell Wilson show at the beginning of the season, week one specifically, as I may have just screwed up my touch pad here. That's why I'm not Dan Orlovsky.
But Dan,
I
would say this one,
this line is right down the middle here, because I don't believe that this quarterback competition has been settled. They can say all the right things about Russell Wilson being their week one starter. The pads come on in August. That is when I think this will be decided. Justin Fields, I think, brings different dimensions to this Steelers offense than what Russell Wilson does. Maybe the veteran gets the deference. This is an organization that has been traditionally, I think, respectful of veteran leadership, but Justin brings some electricity to this, and if Justin Fields plays in training camp like we saw at times during his tenure in Chicago, I think he will be the week one starter. That's why I have it right
really
down the middle. I can't even try.
That's a great line, Fields.
You know what?
I like
taking
it.
This back.
All right, shut up, Field Yates, and the whole cast of characters there on ESPN. Enough, and we get the porno music in the background. We don't get to hear Too Legit to Quit. Come on now! But in Field Yates' mind, Justin Fields is going to be the week one starter. How about Colin Cowherd on Justin Fields?
Quarterback is the only position in American sports that much of the greatness you can't see. Brady, Breeze, Peyton Manning, pre-snap movement, audibling into yards and out of trouble. That accounts for about 30 to 40% of this game. The ability for a quarterback to feel the game and see the game. This has been my knock on Justin Fields. I think people are open. Highlights and tape have shown it, and they can't see it. So athletic ability can really be fool's gold, because you can see it all. And Justin Fields is an unbelievable athlete, yet he was, over the last three seasons, the most sacked quarterback in the NFL. He couldn't audible out of sacks. And you say, oh, it's the offensive line. Did you know last year, by the end of the year, PFF ranked the Bears' offensive line above the Niners? I watched the games. It was better. And it was in the same class as the Kansas City Chiefs. This is what I've said with Justin Fields. I can see the talent. You can see why they're drafted high first round. Live arms move really well. But so much of playing quarterback is what you don't see.
So two totally different takes on Justin Fields there in the span of 2 minutes. Mark Caboli has written and talked to us about some of the struggles that Justin Fields had in minicamp, in OTAs. Also, wax poetic a little bit about the talent that Justin Fields has. And I don't know where you want to go with all this, Doran, and so you take it wherever you want to go, but my piece on this is, can we get into at least my God training camp before we start making any widespread, wide-reaching takes on guys? Like, Cowherd hadn't watched him in OTA's minicamp. Field Yates ain't watched him in OTA's minicamp. There's like 12 people who are not affiliated with the Steelers who have watched these guys in OTA's in minicamp. And we did it with Kenny Pickett before. Oh, he's the next coming. He's going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. And then it didn't translate to the regular season. Can we just take a minute and take a breath, damn it, on what's going to happen with the Steelers quarterbacks?
Well, what Colin Cowherd is saying is, like, you can see the things that make good quarterbacks is what you don't see. And he said the pre-snap movements, the checking the audibles, the studying, the recognizing defense, identifying fronts, things of that nature, all the stuff that people kind of know about football and playing a quarterback position. And what you can see with Justin Fields is his athletic ability. And what you don't know about Justin Fields is, in young quarterbacks, is they need to be paired. Most of them need to be paired with a really good offensive coordinator to learn how to read NFL defenses, to learn the system, how to audible, when to audible, when is it appropriate, what to audible in to have that counter to a defense that is showing something that you didn't prepare for. I don't think that Justin Fields had that in Chicago. He was a very raw player coming out of college. And Ohio State is a very, very good football school. We know that. I just listened to Urban Meyer and Tressel say that this is probably one of the best Ohio State teams this year in college football that they've ever seen. They could be. Ohio State's a very good school. College football and NFL football are way different. Way different. Study-wise, everything is so different. Things are happening fast. Justin Fields has the opportunity to actually learn how to play quarterback and not just be an athlete this year because he actually has a real offense. He has a real offense coordinator that's going to break it down. And really good offensive coordinators, they don't dumb down their offense, but whenever they have to, they got to make it so it fits the personnel and they can all learn the same way. What's the point of having calculus if nobody can learn it and sticking with it? No, let's go back down to algebra. Let's go to algebra because it's kind of the same method, right? It's still math. It's still math. If you can learn algebra, we don't need to get to calculus, but I'll just rely on, you know, your abilities in algebra and take it. So whether Arthur Smith's offense is very complex or not, Arthur Smith has the awareness to, if you have a young quarterback like Justin Fields, teach them why they're doing it. He's never been taught that. He got drafted to be an athlete. Like, he got drafted to go out there and play your game, man. Like, play. Hopefully it translates. We're going to hope and pray. It did at times, and it didn't at times. Now he's going to have the opportunity to actually learn an offense, learn the rhyme or reason why he's doing things, and be on the same page with his coordinators, his receivers, his offensive line. So that's yet to be seen, and hopefully he can grasp that. I think that he can. But going back to the OTAs thing and like, learning our lesson last year, like, you know, Kenny Pickett, you know, tore it up in OTAs. Kenny Pickett tore it up in preseason. Just, I mean, Justin Fields is in a new city. He's in on a new team. He's learning a new offense. He's learning from a new quarterback coach, a new head coach. Like, I'm not making excuses, but these are things that, like, you do have to take into account whenever you're dealing with a young player, and especially at that position. It is all new. So nothing's going to be in sync right now.
And it's one thing if they brought him in to be the day one starter and you had Kyle Allen as the backup and it has to be Justin Fields. That's not the case here. They brought Justin Fields in on March 16th. So he moves to a new town, new teammates, everything you were saying, new offensive scheme, everything is different. And he's a young player who did not get the necessary tutelage at the previous stop. Of course, Russell Wilson's going to come in and it's going to be easier for him. And you're not really going to get to see the best out of Justin Fields in practice type environments. Like, when plays are extended, that's yes. where he is at his absolute best. Whistle's going to get blown a lot of the time before those plays develop, before he gets to get up to his 40-yard dash time down the field. Like, he can't be himself in this setting. We know he's got things to work on. Some people have questioned his accuracy. Some have questioned his willingness or ability to throw over the middle of the field. Okay. His footwork, things of that nature. You think in OTAs and minicamp, Tom Arth, the new Steelers quarterbacks coach, and Arthur Smith are going to be able to beat bad habits out of a guy? No. That's not going to happen. That's 3 weeks of practice.
Right.
You'd hope you'd see some growth, I guess. But again, 3 weeks of practice, and really you're not getting any bodies around you. It's not football.
It's not football. I mean, Russell Wilson has been through this before. He's changed teams. He's been with different offensive coordinators. He's played a long time. He's won. Like you said, he is going to pick it up quicker. I mean, that's just how it is.
And I'll go the other way too, Doran. If he was out there kicking ass, I'm not falling head over heels in love with him.
No.
Because as a texter brings up, and I think fairly actually on the text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You guys act like you guys didn't say Pickett was the next Big Ben. Every host on this station was head over heels in love with Pickett. Look, to varying degrees, we all were believing in Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, rightfully so. Why wouldn't you?
He was clutch as hell his first year. Once that bye week came and went, Kenny Pickett was a different player. He plays on the road at Philly. He plays on the road at Buffalo. He wasn't very good in those games. Neither was the team. After the bye week, they developed a new identity. He was good, and he made plays third downs, fourth quarter, down the stretch in games. We didn't expect him to be a finished product, but if you had the clutch gene and you showed that as a rookie, why wouldn't you think then the next year when he's got a perfect passer rating in the preseason, and he did, by all accounts, have good camp in the second year in a system— I think logically, that's where all that information leads you, is Kenny Pickett's going to be pretty good. And then it didn't work out. But what I am telling you, texter and listeners out there, is I'm not going to do that again.
Right. Fool me once. What is it? Shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on me.
Yes.
Something like that. Like, I'm not doing that again. And then you know, I was high on Kenny, and I should have known better that, you know, personally, I should have known better. I should have known better that you don't need to put too much stock into preseason. But the way he was doing things in the I wasn't looking at him completing passes in preseason. I wasn't looking at him throwing touchdowns. I was looking at his command and his leadership and his swag, his aura about him. Like, oh, like he is going to do something this year. And he didn't. And I know that Russell Wilson has that, and he has that in all three phases. He has that in OTA's mini camp or OTA's training camp and the regular season. So he is going to have a leg up. But Justin Fields has time to figure it out.
Yes.
And I mean, whether it's true or not, though, like that. Let's go back there.
That's
like,
the other thing.
I would have to see it from my own eyes. Like, it's one thing that a couple of people say that, you know, he's off target. Like, what do you think off target is? Because this is the NFL. Nothing's going to be on target. You know, no catch is an easy catch in the NFL. Like, I don't know what do you think this is? Like, I don't care if it's routes on air or not. Like, nothing's going to be perfect. You have to make plays in the NFL. So I would have to see from my own eyes to justify if, you know, what some people are saying is true about Justin Fields during the last month.
Let's say he is struggling. Okay. Russell Wilson's your starter day one. Russell Wilson's won a Super Bowl. Russell Wilson's gone to another Super Bowl. Russell Wilson might be a Hall of Famer when this is all said and done. It would be alarming to me if reports of Russell Wilson struggling came out. Then I would go, oh, geez.
Right.
What happened there? Like, is my man just cooked? Let Russ cook, or is Russ cooked? I would be concerned. Justin Fields was not their number one option at quarterback this offseason. He was not their number one target. If he was, he'd have been acquired before Russell Wilson. Mike Tomlin would not be saying things like Russell Wilson is in pole position. What they're hoping, I think, is Russell Wilson wins them a lot of football games. If not, they think they've got a viable backup. There was a recent list that came out that ranked the Steelers at having the number one backup in all of football in Justin Fields. But make no mistake, to your point, halfway through the season, if Russ isn't doing well and Justin Fields has now had more time to study tape and prepare as though he's the starter and do all those things, like, 2 months into the season is a hell of a lot different than 3 weeks into your first offseason activities with a given club.
What I really think that their plan is, and this is just me, I think that they hope that Russell Wilson can give them a year this year and them do really well, price himself out of here, and they can see Justin Fields being Russell Wilson and giving him a year to learn behind Russell Wilson. If Russell Wilson, I think in their mind, can do it, they think that with the intangibles of Justin Fields, he can do the same things Russell Wilson can in the offense. And I think they want him to sit. They want him to watch. Russell Wilson, hopefully he plays very well this year, takes us to an AFC championship game, leads us to, you know, two playoff wins. All right, see ya. Thanks for your service. Now we have basically Russell Wilson B that will slide in, that has learned, took his time, reset, and we can move on from there.
Yeah, if we're hearing from players at the end of the year, Justin Fields stinks. And not that you would hear it like in so many words, but guys in this room have been critical of quarterbacks, Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, in the past. If that's the kind of stuff we're hearing from guys in the locker room late in the year, I will be concerned about Justin Fields' long-term viability as a Steelers quarterback. But you're right. I mean, all things go according to plan. Russell Wilson plays well. Justin Fields gets more and more comfortable with what the Steelers are doing every week. Then he's your guy.
Mm-hmm.
But to freak out about what he may or may not be doing in OTAs and minicamp, I think we all need to know a little bit better.
A little bit.
Especially after what happened with Kenneth. It is 7:14. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. Coming up next, Sean McVay had some nice things to say about T.J. Watt, which kind of dispelled some of the talk around T.J. Watt. We'll spend a little bit of time on that when we come back before getting into the Buccos at 7:35.
He is a freak, you know, and I think, you know, when you look at it too, like Highsmith's a legit dude, you know, on the other side of him that doesn't get enough credit. But you're right. I mean, we basically altered our whole plan to affect T.J. this last year. And then the one time he drops into coverage, he picks off an underneath route and takes it back to inside the five. I'm like, you got to be me. He finds ways to affect the game.
That's Sean McVay talking about TJ Watt. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. That's like the big thing Browns fans always say, Doran, when they compare Garrett to Watt. Well, the Browns, they move Garrett all over the place. And so he's a lot harder to prepare for. That's Sean McVay, one of the preeminent offensive coaches of this era, saying, yeah, that was the guy we keyed in on.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a big deal. Keeps him up at night. I think the discourse between those two guys, Garrett and Watt, is really annoying. Because Browns fans will dig their heels in, and by way of putting Garrett over, we'll have to tear down Watt, and Steelers fans do the same thing. Both players are Hall of Famers.
Yes.
I hate when we do the comparison shopping thing and then the other guy gets ripped. It used to happen with Crosby and Ovechkin all the time. Well, Ovi doesn't play defense. Yeah, he's great. He's in a Hall of Fame. Sidney Crosby, oh, he's a whiner. He's a diver. Yeah, he's great. He's in the Hall of Fame. We always tear down the other guy, and it kind of drives me nuts.
Yeah, and I mean, they both affect games in different ways, but the same way at the same time. So, I mean, you can recognize that they are very, very good at what they do. But I do think, you know, this past year, it was more of the Browns needed something. And we need to not honor the Browns, but recognize the Browns because they had a pretty good year this year and they never get recognized. And I think it was a whole show around TJ Watt not winning.
Like he was due, like a yes. lifetime achievement
yes.
thing.
Yes.
I think part of it too, because I do agree with that. Go ahead. Sorry.
I know we go through this a lot, but TJ Watt had more sacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that is the number one attribute if you're evaluating that position to say who is the best or not is sacks.
Why do I care if you almost got there?
there's more to this than just Myles Garrett was better last year or is a better player.
He finishes plays, Watt does. And it's not to say Garrett doesn't either, because again, I don't want to tear Garrett down, but like, isn't that what it's all about?
Mm-hmm.
Like, doubles aren't the same as home runs.
Right.
You know, a pressure to me, yeah, it affects the game, no doubt about that. It ain't like TJ ain't pressuring the quarterback, but do you get the quarterback on the ground? It is so hard to play defense. It's a lot easier to play defense if it's 3rd and 14 versus 3rd and 6. It just is. And TJ Watt brings that to the table more than any player in the sport. I'm also fascinated in this. I think part of it too, which is what I was going to say before, is, you know, Garrett was a 1-1 guy. So a lot of it is, this is what we thought he would become, and now we need to show that he's become this. And TJ Watt was a 30th pick in the draft, which is so cool to me that the Steelers got a player who I think is better than Myles Garrett, and they got him at 30th, and the Browns had to get their guy number one. It's just so Brownsian. But the other part of this for me is Myles Garrett is going to go down as an all-time great Browns defensive player. He's not won a Super Bowl. They did win a playoff game. I don't know how Watt is going to be viewed when it's all said and done if he doesn't win anything here. And he's the same player, a little bit better, a little bit worse, depending on who you ask, than Myles Garrett. But at that franchise, oh, Myles Garrett, he's the GOAT. And in this franchise, well, Mean Joe Green, Jack Lamb, I mean, the list goes on because we win things here.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, he'll be second tier in the franchise. He'll be a Hall of Famer, but he'll be second tier viewed. Like, I don't know, like 10 years from now or 15, 20 years from now, you'll still be talking about Mean Joe Green and those defenses. I don't know how much you're going to talk about TJ Watt, to be honest.
If you don't win anything with him, he won't be a footnote. That's way too strong, but I don't think he'd be mentioned in the same breath as those guys.
No.
And there's a chance. I mean, I don't know how long Watt's going to play. We talked about that yesterday. Maybe he's got 3. Maybe he's got 7. I don't know. He takes care of his body. His brother only played till 33. Different guys, different positions. I understand all that. If he plays 5, 6, 7 more years, he's going to be one of the all-time sackers of all time, which should matter. But there's one thing that matters here, and that's the dang rings on the fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, he ain't won a playoff game. How much is that his fault? I don't really put any of it on him, but it's true.
Yeah.
And if you had to pay a non-quarterback, and we'll get into that whole thing at 8 o'clock with the quarterback salary cap and a report on that that came out yesterday. If you have to pay a non-quarterback, aren't we paying edge rushers?
Yeah.
Because fundamentally they changed the game. You got to stop the big high-priced quarterbacks. You got to pay someone equal on-ish on the other side of the ball. So maybe he should catch some flack for them not winning playoff games. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, look at Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald won a Super Bowl, and he's a huge reason why. Like, I know Sean McVay's good. I know that Matthew Stafford's good. I know that their offense was pretty good, but, I mean, Aaron Donald was probably the main reason why that they were competitive for the many years that he played for the Rams. He changes everything, and he got them to a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So
you get remembered for that
different
stuff.
Different position, I get it, but, yeah. You know, D-line.
Yes.
Getting to the quarterback.
I mean, we factor it into quarterbacks and for their Hall of Fame candidacy, and we remember all the guys who never won. I don't think we remember it quite as much for other players on the field, but if you are saying what is the yin to the yang defensively for the quarterback, it would be the edge rusher in today's day and age.
I mean, look what Lawrence Taylor did. 2 Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Same position. You know, those guys, different era, I get it. But those guys, if you really change games, you really vault your team to winning championships.
Think about the Steelers in the Hall of Fame and all the hardware that they brought home. Now, you had a couple guys before the 70s, but when we're talking about guys who are in the Hall or are going to be in the Hall, like Ben and maybe Hines Ward and perhaps James Harrison, it's rings. And it's what you did in big games. T.J. Watt would be a fascinating case study. He will get into the Hall of Fame. There's mm-hmm. no debate about that.
Mm-hmm.
But a player of his caliber for this franchise, he'd be one of only a few that doesn't have the hardware.
Yeah.
And when we talked about the AFC North and all these teams and the pressure, if we ask T.J. Watt, there's pressure on the Steelers now to win for him, for Cam Hayward. Like, we settled on Baltimore because of Lamar and his legacy, but T.J. Watt wants to win a championship. What else does he need to accomplish?
You know why he really wants to win a championship? Can you guess why he really, I believe he really wants to win a championship?
Because his brother didn't?
Yep. And that'll separate them. Because he's always being compared to his brother. I mean, they basically have the same career. I mean, different positions, but I bet you that he's like, man, if I win one, then yeah.
Well, he's got to be frustrated. I agree with that because he has won, what, 1 Defensive Player of the Year award, but he's been top 3 times mm-hmm. and could have won it the other 2 times. His brother won 3. He should be on par. He didn't get his just due.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, let's say he's got 3 or 5 years left. Is he going to win 2? We just saw the way the voting process went this time around. What could be the separating factor? You're right, a championship. Because his brother, he's got his 3. He ain't winning another championship. Yeah, I could see that. You want bragging rights at the dinner table.
Oh, yeah, that's what you play for.
Mm-hmm.
You get the opportunity to play all 2 of your brothers are in the NFL, and your 1 brother is probably one of the best during his era. Yeah, you want that's what it comes down to. Like, okay, we're all here. Like, let's see who's the actual best. Like, mm-hmm. guarantee.
Well, and it gets viewed outside of Pittsburgh probably different too. Like, okay, J.J. Watt wins 3 defensive MVPs. He can be thrust into the all-time great conversation. Whereas if T.J. Watt won 3 defensive MVPs, I wonder if people outside of Pittsburgh would go, hey, get a ring.
No, yeah.
You're a Steeler.
Right.
But who cared about Houston, right?
Right.
I mean, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, like they didn't expect them to do that.
Yeah.
Like he was on who did you just say? He's like Myles Garrett. But J.J. Watt was in Houston. Like, oh, you're going to be an all-time great in Houston. But here, it's a little bit different.
Right.
You're all-time great in Cleveland. Here, it's a little bit different.
You're Anthony Munoz.
Yeah.
In Cincinnati, great. But like, that's like their best player ever.
Right.
Here, you either win... You don't get forgotten, but you're not thought of in the same way. And I think he's ultimately going to be judged by the national media folks that way. All right, coming up next, John Wehner. He was on with us yesterday, and he said something rather interesting about why he doesn't think the Pirates have been able to get hot just yet. We didn't have time to react to it yesterday. We'll react to it coming up next.
You need to score more runs, and it's not, you know, playing all these close games. You know, I keep thinking about this team's ready to go on a run. When are they going to win 5, 6, 7, 8 games in a row? To do that, they're going to have to score more because you can't win 2-1, 4-2, 3, you know, 3-1 because you're going to be crushing the back end of your bullpen. Every now and again, you got to win 10-2 like we did on, I guess it was Sunday in Colorado, to where you can, you know, you don't have to use those back end guys. Because you'll never be able to go on a big run of 6 to 8 games if you keep winning 4 to 2. I'm looking for more offense. Hopefully, if it's not internal now, they make a move to add to it.
All right, we're going to react to Wehner in a second, but we were just thinking about Steelers Hall of Famers that didn't have rings, and Kevin Green's a guy, RIP, and Rod Woodson, Dermoni Dawson, who some would say Dermoni Dawson, the best center of all time, Kevin Green, one of the best sack guys of all time. I believe he's top five. I think he's third all-time in sacks, Kevin Green. So you are that excellent. So you have to be put in. Rod Woodson, that excellent. And then, well, he won a championship with Baltimore.
With Baltimore.
Okay, well, there.
And then those other guys, they made it to a Super Bowl.
Right.
At least.
Yes.
They made it.
Yes. And T.J. Watt ain't sniffed it.
No.
And Cam Hayward, I mean, they went to the AFC Championship in 2016, but lost by a million points. Those guys, Watt's going to get in. Cam Hayward may get in, but they'll be looked at in a different category than those other guys. When you look at the long list of Steelers Hall of Famers, it's rings, 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 rings everywhere. Anyhow, we digress. So John Wehner, that's as good of an explanation on why the Pirates haven't gone on a long winning streak as I've heard, is you're winning a lot of close games, and so your bullpen gets taxed, and so you can't throw the guys out there in your bullpen that you want with as much regularity as you want. So it's just, it's hard to get on and be that snowball rolling downhill. Now, games like yesterday are different because you just have to go to Holderman and then Bednar, and you save the rest of your bullpen and you got an off day today. This whole series, though, you win close games. You need to score runs so that you don't have to use Bednar and Holderman and Chapman all the time. I love that explanation. And then at the end there, he throws in, so it's either internal improvement offensively, or you got to go out and add. And we've talked ad nauseum about how they need to add, but you brought it up earlier. Like, Brian Reynolds has come around, and in a big way. O'Neill Cruz, since the beginning of May, has come around, and in a big way. You've got Nick Gonzalez. Andrew McCutchen has come around in a big way. But they're still going out there, and they score one run in each of these two games. Getting Key Brian Hayes going would be a massive, massive deal.
Yeah, and I think what Wayne, or should I say, like scratching and clawing, yeah, that can get you wins, but then that you get exhausted. And that can only last for so long. You know, scratching and clawing your way through a season is very, very tough. If you get on a streak and start scoring runs, then it's almost like walking. Like, it's like, okay, like we're in sync. We can go out, you know, we're going to score runs. We're going to give ourselves a chance. We don't have to scratch and claw and figure out other ways to win games. And he, you know, would like to see that because they do need to get on a serious win streak in order to really put themselves in good position. And to do that, you need bats to come around. And Ke'Bryan Hayes being one of them, I think he's the next piece to the puzzle if we're talking guys that have been paid by the Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
And not saying that they've been paid a lot of money in major league terms, but in Pirates terms, they've been paid a lot of money. Mitch Keller's been paid a lot of money. Brian Reynolds has been paid a lot of money. Ke'Bryan Hayes is, you know, 8 years, $70 million, paid a lot of money. Those two guys that I just named first are singing for that supper. Ke'Bryan Hayes, it's your turn.
Yes,
because
it is.
If it is your turn and you are singing for your supper, that creates the streaks. That creates runs. That creates another dimension to your game that it's like, okay, this is for real. And then you think about, okay, we need to prove to Charrington that we are legit.
There's that.
And then you do that with Ke'Bryan Hayes getting his bat to come alive. And then you do maybe add another one. And then you're cooking with gas.
Yes. You don't only need to just add a guy. You need your guy, Ke'Bryan Hayes in particular, to come around at the same time to where you're basically adding a couple of bats. Because the margin for error is so thin. We saw it in game 2 of the Cincinnati series. A hell of a catch by the center fielder If it goes over his head, guess what? You tie the game, you might wind up winning that game. There's a home run. Michael A. Taylor actually got a hold of one. Home run gets robbed. When you're playing close games, one mistake here or there, you lose the close game. One play the other team makes, you lose the close game. It's why people were so annoyed last year that the Steelers were playing as many one-score games as they were. Because luck comes into that
a
lot. Their starting pitching, their bullpen now at this particular point is enough for them to keep up with the Joneses. But make no mistake, the Mets finally lost yesterday. They won a bunch in a row. They're super hot. They needed that to get back into the race. One or two of these teams that are in the race are going to get hot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just the way that it works, whether it's the Cubs or the Reds or the Cardinals or San Francisco or San Diego or the Nationals or the Mets. One or two of those teams are going to get hot. So, like, just to say, oh, if we can just get to 83 and 79 or what? No. You need to, A, like you said, force the general manager's hand. But I don't think when we look up at the end of the season that you're going to see a team below 500 having gotten into the playoffs. Like, I just don't. You're going to start to see some separation in the pack. And if it's going to be you, yeah, you need Key Brian Hayes to come around and you need to add a bat or two. You just do. I like that description from Wehner. And I think you make some good points, Doran Dickerson.
Thank you.
And I want to ask you all a question coming up next. We've got Michael, who is shadowing Nicholas Harry Callis today. We want to get his opinion on something. Get Callis' opinion on this. I'm not gonna let the cat out of the bag yet. It's not a super deep conversation, but a question nonetheless I want you all to answer when we come back. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. In 10 minutes, a big change could be coming to the NFL. I mean, huge, massive. We'll talk about it. But first, guys, today is the first day of summer. The solstice. Is summer the best season, Doran?
Absolutely not.
All right, real quick. Real quick before you opine. Michael, who is shadowing Nicholas Harry Callis, is summer the best season? Young Michael.
100%. There's no school.
Oh, that's a good take by him.
That's a great take by him.
That's a very good take by him.
His first time on the mic, too, and he was ready with the take.
Ready. Oh, man. Okay. I guess,
depends on the stage of life, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, whenever I'm in my 60s and hopefully 70s, like, I want it to be, like, I want summer year-round. Like, I don't want to be cold at all.
That's true.
But right now, that's a great take by Michael.
What a take!
Wow.
Yeah, when I was 14, it's summer all day.
Yeah.
Because you don't even care about being hot when you're 14 or anything like that.
I just don't have to wake up and go to school.
Yeah. No biology today for young Michael. All right, Callis, what's the best season?
I also enjoy summer.
What?
Baseball season is my favorite, and I enjoy it.
I love baseball, too.
I hate going outside and waking up, especially for this job, in the cold, because there is no sun.
Well,
there is
winter
nothing.
Is absolutely out of the question. Winter sucks.
Horrible.
The older I got, the less I hate it, but it's still not good.
So the other two seasons, you must like rain a lot.
I love fall, man. Fall's the best.
Same.
Because you say you like baseball, it's not cutting time. October, late September, we got big-time pennant race baseball. You got the NBA, you got the NHL, you got the NFL, you got college football. From a sports standpoint, the fall's the best. Plus, it's not too hot. Sit around a campfire, drink fall beers. Chili, or as Donnie Football says, chewy.
Chewy.
Chewy is a big-time food option. We were at the store yesterday. My daughter said, Daddy, we haven't had chili in a while. It's 95 degrees, Nora. Just calm down. We'll get to it.
Like, you're trying to, like, a day in the fall where it's brisk and the leaves are falling. There's pumpkins on people's doorsteps and outside of people's houses. There's the smell of a campfire, maybe somebody's burning leaves, or a smoker that is going on. Somebody's,
you can still do summer things, you're right, in early fall in particular.
And then there's football on.
Mm-hmm.
I like to wear clothes. Like, I like to wear
good
hoodies. Like, I like
meat gazing.
Meat gazing. Crowley would probably rather me not wear clothes.
I like it when Doran wears clothes because, my God, by comparison.
I like to wear, like, hoodies. And, like, jeans and joggers and to feel warm with my clothes. So like, and then walk outside and it's just like that perfect temperature. So
a 55 degree fall day.
It's just the best.
The smell of fall. It's not even close. You two in there with the summer are crazy. Although I do understand the point from young Michael.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. Cause you're not off in the fall. Although the best holidays in the fall. Thanksgiving's awesome. Football, Halloween.
Yes.
Your money holiday is awesome. I was born in the fall, as was my firstborn.
I mean, is the fall the only season that you have back-to-back holidays? Months.
I mean, you're going to get Memorial Day, you're going to get Labor Day, you're going to get 4th of July in the summer.
I mean, but back-to-back months. Like, in the fall, we're getting, okay, we got Halloween, and then we're going to have Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, like, 25 days later.
Yeah, it feels like you're still cleaning up your Halloween stuff whenever Thanksgiving rolls around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fall is the best, especially around here. Now, when I'm older, I don't think I'll need to. People say, you got to experience the seasons. Now I like that.
Yeah. You know what? You don't have to decorate for summer holidays, though. You can just enjoy them.
People put up the bunting, the red, white, and blue. Plus, like, days like today. Like, you got to be outside. Real people listening to this show who actually work for a living. Like, they're the guys that are standing on the, and girls who are standing on the side of the road holding stop signs. Yes. I was driving down 88 yesterday and all the traffic and construction there. And I just threw up some prayers for those people.
I'd rather do it now than in the winter, though.
What's better, summer or winter?
Summer.
Yeah. No question.
I mean, think about working construction and like think about standing out there and you're a flagger and holding a sign whenever it's like 10 degrees out. Because they're not waking up, you know, at like 8 a.m. Like they're getting up whenever we get up.
Yeah.
And to have to do that, oh, God bless him.
Texter, and this might be the best point about summer other than Michael, who's 14 years old, the point that he made about there's no school in the summer. Bikini. Pretty good point.
Yeah, or just go on your computer.
The For You tab on Twitter.
Yes.
Coming up next, a massive, massive change. Could be coming to the NFL. Do we like it? Do we not like it? When could that change be happening? We'll talk about it. You can call us on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevy, 24 Silverado LT crew cab up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. Today, slightly cooler than it's been, 92 degrees.